good, feel good, eat good, go to customfit.ca. Plakas, how you doing?
Good. It's Olivia Newton-John.
Oh, that's right. Do you know what was the video? Do you remember that video that was, they're all sweating in it and the girls are all wearing like the one-piece tight workout clothes with the high socks over top? Oh, it's unbelievable. I can't believe it.
Jane Fonda used to have a few videos like that, so she was popular in the 80s.
Yeah, no, it wasn't Jane Fonda. No, not like when you bought like an actual music video. God, I got to remember that. This is the greatest video ever. I can't believe I'm forgetting it. It's terrible. Terrible on my part. We were talking about, you have to, if you can't move properly, it's hard to get better. But if you don't eat properly, that's obviously another big one. Now, calories are definitely something that's been talked about a lot in the public eye. You can go on the box and you read, okay, it's got 100 calories. But then you always got to read, how many grams of salt, sugar? So what's the, calories taking in, taking out? Most people really aren't going to count their calories, are we?
Yeah, so this is the issue. Like, the energy balance equation basically means, if you're consuming more calories than you're expending, over time your body's going to store those calories as fat in your body your body needs to use it as a fuel source. So that equation is important to understand approximately where you're at. But the only problem is that you're right. We're not going to count our calories because it's impossible to estimate how many calories you're burning during exercise. It's really impossible to know exactly how many calories of the food that you eat unless you're like weighing each food that you eat and the portion sizes and stuff like that. And it's also kind of almost impossible to know exactly what your daily, basal metabolic rate is. Like, how many calories do you just need to exist at the weight that you want on a daily basis, because everybody's very individual depending on your age and your sex and the amount of muscle that you have and that kind of stuff. So it's a tough thing. So you need to know approximately, but it's almost impossible to count.
Okay. And it was for us just moving around, how many calories is on average, and I know it's general, but how many calories on average are we using in a day?
Yeah, so a good rule that some of the stuff that I've read is it's about a calorie for every kilogram that you weigh per kilometer that you move. Okay, so if you're like, if you're 100 kilograms, that's 220 pounds, you're going to burn about 100 calories for every kilometer you move in your day. So if you have like a Garmin or a Fitbit or a pedometer and you know how much distance you covered in your day, you can get a kind of a rough idea of like how many calories you expended just kind of living your life. So those are like non-exercise kind of calories that you kind of burn, maybe walking around the house, walking to and from your car, that kind of stuff.
Oh, by the way, the video was Call on Me by Eric Prides. All the guys were texting in. Thank you, boys.
Oh, yeah. That's
so
fun. That's
good. So
yeah, they were
good.
Doing the hip thrust from the ground. That's right.
What about during an exercise session? Because I know we're supposed to exercise, and obviously when you're – If you weigh more, do you naturally burn more calories in an exercise? Like if a 200-pounder works out at the same intensity level than a 160-pounder, do we burn the same calories, or is it the more weight burn more calories?
Yeah, well, it depends what you're doing. Like if the 220-pounder is doing exercises that involves moving their body around, yeah, it's a lot more difficult for them to move a 220-pound body than it is a 160-pound body. But if you're doing, say, for example, a routine for like you're deadlifting or you're doing bench and stuff like that, where being bigger is advantageous in lifting external weight to your body, then you don't have to work as hard as, say, a 160-pound person lifting the same kind of weight. So it's really the relative intensity that you're working at of your fitness level to the work that you're doing. So it's basically how much heat energy your body's building up to perform work. So whether how hard your muscles are contracting and how high your heart rate is, a combination of both to create energy in your body to do the work that you're doing. So it's really relative on how hard you're working relative to your fitness level. Like you could get two people to go and run, 10 miles. One person's a very efficient runner and they're fit, and they're not going to work that hard doing the 10 miles, and the other person's just got off the couch. They're going to burn way more calories trying to get that sucker done.
Paul Plakas from Custom Fit. How many calories does the average person need to get their basic nutrients into their body?
Yeah, that's a good question. The average person, like I talk to a lot of dietitians, they feel like around 1,200 to 1,500 is really as low as you could possibly go. And that's if you ate perfect and you're focusing on good, mostly plant-based sources and really high nutrient-dense foods and not consuming any kind of, you know, non-nutrient foods, like no junk food, that kind of stuff, you can't really get all the vitamins and minerals you can in your body unless you're trying to get at least somewhere between 1,200 to 1,500, somewhere in that range per person. And then above that, you'll need more calories depending on how much muscle you have in your body, how much activity you expect your body to do in your day, that kind of thing. So it can range from a minimum, I'd say, of around 1,200 if you're a very sedentary, older, small person, to it could be exponentially. It could be up to 12,000. I read Michael Phelps, the Olympic swimmer, ate 12,000 calories a day just to do his workouts preparing for the Olympics.
Yeah, well, he's kind of a freak. He's probably
freak
in the pool.
So, yeah, so it can vary quite a bit depending on where you're at. But I would say for most men, somewhere between 2,000 to 3,000, depending on how active you are in your day. And for most women, I'd say somewhere between 1,500 to 2,000.
And one last one, Paul. Another one that's big is when, you know, we hear it all the time for young athletes and older ones, maybe not so much for pros because they kind of know the importance of how to eat properly. But, you know, younger kids, they go there and dad and mom after the game are like, geez, what happens? Like, yeah, I just didn't feel good today. And a lot of times that is because they don't have the energy to put forth the effort that they want. Right. And so for young athletes, what is there? Has there been any studies on the best? Like I heard that, you eat a pasta dinner the night before a game. I have no idea if that's actually true or if that's just a myth. Are there certain things that are going to give you a good energy boost that will, like, you know, like I know sugar can be good for a short time, but then you'll really crash out. So what are the good things if you're a hockey player who plays a hockey game at Pee Wee Bantam or Midget and lasts about an hour and a half that allows them to have a good energy source throughout?
Yeah, exactly. So you don't want to consume really intense sugar like chocolate or candy and stuff like that because it goes into your bloodstream right away and it spikes your insulin levels, which means that you're going to have a temporary boost, but you're going to be crashing very, very quickly. Plus, there's no nutritional benefit to eating that whatsoever for the rest of your body. So what you want to do is you want to consume nutrient-dense, slow-releasing carbohydrates. So that's where the carbohydrates are absorbed by your body at a slower rate, and you don't have those same spikes in your insulin levels, and you have energy that's going to basically sort of last a lot longer than you would with the high sugar content. So some examples of with that would be like a yam would be a great choice, or like some sort of like wild rice would be really good. You could do a little bit of pasta as well. The key is you don't want to eat them too close to the event because you're going to feel very sluggish. So as long as you ate a good meal the day before and then you had maybe a piece of fruit or maybe a little bit of yogurt before your activity within an hour, you should have enough energy to do whatever sport you're playing. And then you want to have maybe a good post-workout either a shake of some kind, whether you're having frozen berries, maybe a little bit of yogurt, you know, banana, that kind of thing, or you can do some oatmeal with some fruit on top of that. That's a good replacement of carbohydrates post-workout because that way you can store that energy for your next intense session after that.
Paul, it's always great to talk to you, man. Have a good one.
Have a great day, sir.